Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr.
Thank you. Advent season, a wonderful time when you lit the candles. And the fourth Advent week, we speak about love, God's love. And I've entitled this sermon, True Love. Advent is a time where we've read out, where we celebrate the birth of Christ. It's a season when we remember the coming of Christ, his incarnation, God as man. We've already lit the candles that symbolize hope, peace and joy. And today, we've lit the candle of love. And God is love. So, God is patient. He is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. God is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. And God always perseveres. Amen. Well, Advent season is a time that we remember Jesus' birth. But as I was preparing this sermon about love, why did Jesus come? Why did God send his son? Well, we've already know and heard that God is love. Well, God demonstrated his love at Advent. He demonstrated his love at the cross. He demonstrated his love for his creation at the cross, at his death, and his resurrection. God sent his son to open our eyes. God sent his son so we could see God. God sent his son so we could know God. God sent his son to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. He came to destroy the power and the works of Satan, the evil one. And what else? He came to seek and save the lost. Hallelujah. True love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God is a giver, not a taker. Love gives, lust takes, greed takes, love gives. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well, Martin, what's that got to do with the price of Burak? What's that got to do with me? Yeah, that's great. I just want to live my life. But God came. He broke into our time and experience to open our eyes. But the solution doesn't make much sense until we are aware of our sin problem. Mankind has a sin problem, and it has consequences. It has ramifications. And until we comprehend and understand then consequences and ramifications, it won't make much sense. So, let me explain. The Bible tells us Just as people are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. God is a righteous judge, and every person will stand before God and give an account of his life, his deeds, and his actions. Every person in this whole world that's ever been born will stand before a righteous, holy God and give an account. Oof. It's getting hot. Oof. We'll stand before a righteous God and give an account. Every envelope that was pushed under a table, every dodgy deal, every lie, every sin, every wrongdoing, we will stand before a holy God and give an account. Oof. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Well, thank God he did. That's what Advent's all about. He sent his son. So, after we die a first time, now notice I said a first time, because I will mention the second death, we will face a holy God, our Creator. We will give an account. And the main thing that we'll have to give an account for is we accepted or rejected his son. Okay, so let me back up one more time so I don't get too far ahead of myself. Are you with me? Let me address this problem, what the Bible calls sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So God is over here, and sinful man is here. We are separated from God. Way back in history, Adam and Eve chose to disobey, and they rebelled against God. Consequently, because of what they did, we have been born into disobedience. We have some inherited sin. We have become separated from God. Our sin, my sin and my rebellion, our sin and rebellion has separated us from God. So what is sin? Well, you could say sin is selfish. It's a lot more than that, but you could say it is self in need. Me, myself, and I. Have you driven on the Skopje roads lately? Oof, that's a bit sinful. I wouldn't like to be a learner. It is me. And me, myself, and I. It's all about me. That's what sin is. It's me first and everybody else is second. I don't care about what you will do, about what you say, or what will happen. I'm all right, Jack. I've got my stash here. Goodbye. That is it. Frank Sinatra sang about it. He said, I did it my way. But the Bible tells us it's more than selfishness. It is lawlessness. It is rebellion against God. Our good works will not make it. They will not cut the ice. They will not do the job. Our religion will not do it. It's a relationship with the living God. Philosophy, our good works, they just will not do it. You see, it's easy. You see, we decompartmentalize, we separate it. I say, I'm not such a bad person. Have you seen this guy? That's what I used to say before I became a Christian. But I'm not as bad as him. Well, there's always somebody worse than you. That's for sure. But if we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, to his righteousness, to his holiness, whoa, we come far short. But the truth of the matter is, we have all sinned. All of us. There's not one righteous, the Bible says. And we fall short of God's glory. Lighting a candle cannot save us. Having a meal on certain dates will not save us. Mary, she cannot save us. And I'm not trying to insult anybody. My background experience, my mother was a Catholic, so please understand, I know a bit about that. Jesus is the only one that can help us.
Amen.
For the wages of sin is death. This is the second death. The wages of sin is death. Wages, salaries, are something that we work for. Something that comes after we've done the deed. So after a long time, we get our wages. We get our due reward. The Bible tells us what we sow, we will reap. Do not let anybody deceive you. That's what the Word of God says. Do not let anybody deceive you. Whatever you sow, you will reap. The world says karma. What goes around comes around. Well, that may be true because it's biblical. Because God said, whatever you sow, you will reap. And the wages of sin is death. The end result of our rebellion is eternal separation from God, an eternal damnation, an eternal punishment. Oh, getting hotter in here and the clean's off. But, amen for the buts in the Bible. But, now comes the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have a choice to make, and this is the most important choice you will ever make. I cannot stress that enough. This will be the most important choice you will ever make. Don't make this choice for me, for anybody else, but for yourself and God. It's between you and Him. It's not to make me happy, to please me. It's none of my business. It's between you and God. We have a choice to make. Will you choose Jesus? Will you choose Jesus? We're living in the year of the Lord's favor. Today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. You could leave this place, drive out, and be in a car accident, and you could be tomorrow's news. I hope that doesn't happen. But stranger things have happened. And you'll stand before a holy God, and He'll ask you, what did you do with my son? But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to heaven. That might not sound popular today, but the Word of God is the Word of God. Let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. It is written. It's not whether it's politically correct. It is written. It is God's word. It isn't ICS word. It isn't denomination word. It is the word of God. He demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Jesus has paid the price for your sin, for my sin, for tomorrow's sin, for yesterday's sin, and for sin forever. The innocent Lamb of God was slaughtered for us, for me, for my stinking, rotten selfishness, sinfulness, and rebellion. He took our punishment. He who knew no sin became sin. Christ died so we could live. Christ died so you could live. Christ died so I could live. Eternal life in heaven and abundant life here on earth. He died so we could have a relationship with him. John Calvin said it like this: the Son of God became the Son of Man so the sons of men could become sons of God. Hallelujah. It gets better. He's bridged that gap. He's done it all. He was whipped, tortured, spat in the face, mocked, humiliated. He took the punishment that was mine, the punishment that was yours. And he was innocent. At least we're guilty. He was innocent, and he took it on himself. This is love. This is true love. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Please repeat after me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart that we believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I want to ask a question this morning. Is your heart broken? Are you in bondage or addiction? Jesus died for you. He died so you would be free. He died so your heart would be healed. Are you lost, separated in our sin? Jesus died for you. Receive him today. God is righteous and he's merciful and gracious to save. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's own words. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and they with me. That is love. That is true love. That God didn't leave us alone as orphans, but sent His Son in this world so we would know the Father. He demonstrated His love. He was born in a manger. The God of glory, the God who threw the stars into space, He did it so you and I could have a right relationship with Him. Charles Spurgeon says, "Have you beheld your suffering Savior?" And that's to everybody. Have we beheld Him? Have we experienced Him? Have we seen Him on the cross for my sin? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? Amen. Dear Father God, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that You came to rescue us from ourselves, that You didn't leave us alone as orphans, that You didn't abandon Your creation after we rejected You, after we rebelled, after we turned all our own way, after we do not include You in our life, in our experience, that we exclude You. You stand at the door and knock. And that invitation has traveled down through time. And it broke into my heart and my experience when I was bound in sin and deceit. And You came and You set this captive free. I pray that this church, this body of people, Your bride, would have ears to hear what the Spirit says to us. Give us ears to hear what You're speaking, that You're knocking on the doors of our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come and take Your place. Forgive me, forgive us our rebellion and our sinfulness. Come and take Your rightful place. We believe You, Lord Jesus. You're wonderful. You're gracious. You're merciful. And I deserve death, and You died for me. We deserve death, and You died for us. Oh, let us embrace it. In Jesus' name, amen.